We're going. Okay. This is Rachel Paris. Today is November 3rd, 2011. It is 11:13 a.m. and I'm conducting an interview with Shirley Folks Stevenson for Quilters SOS Save Our Stories project of the Alliance for American Quilts. Shirley and I are at the International Quilt Festival in Houston, Texas, and we're off. Shirley, will you tell me about the piece you brought today?
My husband and I grew up on a ranch in the Texas Hill Country, and my husband and I moved to and bought part of a ranch outside of Kerrville in 1993. And I had always wanted to do thread painting, which is free motion embroidery. I love applique, hand and machine. And so I decided I would put all of the animals on the quilt that I had seen on either my dad's ranch or our ranch, native to Texas. All of them on there are, we saw, except in the bottom left corner is ocelot, and we did not see them. They're a little further south. We probably had them, but they were at night and I didn't see them. But we did see all the others. I do not remember how many animals are on there, but it was interesting.
All right, and you have already talked about the special meaning that this had for you. Do you use this garment?
I made it in my size, and the inside the fabric is hand-dyed, bleached or over-dyed. I did a lot of different things to the fabric. The inside has patchwork, and it's reversible. This is the matka itself. It has maple leaves on the inside.
Okay.
And I made it my size. It has a matching vest and a skirt. I wear it at midnight, Christmas Eve service or something.
Tell me about your interest in quilt making.
When I was a small child, my grandmother had a quilt frame in her dining room, and ladies came to quilt. Which is very interesting. My grandmother was born with only one hand. Her arm was off right below the elbow on the left hand. But she quilted. She made all of her clothes, even her bras. And so that's my first experience with quilts, plus some were handed down to us, which we used as children.
Okay, and you were how old at that time?
Oh, probably 4 or 5 years old.
What's your first quilt memory?
Happy memories were when we took, that was before air conditioning. We took the quilts and off the bed and spread them on the lawn, and my sister and I looked at the stars, and the stars just seemed bigger than life and wonderful, and asked our parents questions. Generally they couldn't answer. And that's the one on the cover.
Oh, I was blown away by the cover, the quilt on the cover of the book. Were you surprised to find Starry Night on the cover?
Oh, yeah. It's the first competition quilt I'd made in 20 years, over 20 years, because I had published patterns and was exhibitor at quilt shows all over the United States. Also, designed for Vogue and Butter Pattern Company for 10 years in the 90s.
How did you get into that? How did you get into pattern design?
I have an art degree, and I've always made my clothes for years, and all my kids' clothes, and I always did really fun stuff with them before it was even popular. And so I just found another outlet. I love sculpture. That was my favorite sculpture and pottery. So quilting was tactile like it is. And so it seemed in the late 70s I lived in Dallas, and the YMCA down the street from where I live had a sign outside that said quilt show. So I went in and it was blown away, and then I joined the Dallas Skill in 1980. So.
And you run a, or you have run a pattern making business?
Yes, 20 years. I designed quilted clothing, quilts, all kinds of craft patterns, like for pin cushions and dolls and pillows and different sort of things. And whatever was unique and different and I thought would sell, I'd design it. And they were always original. They weren't reproductions of anything been done in the past. I particularly loved animals. And I did a lot of chicken quilts and cat quilts and rodeo quilts and all that sort of thing.
Have you ever used a quilt to help you get through a difficult time?
Yes. Yes.
Can you tell me about it?
I started really when I took off in quilting. I wasn't in a real good marriage, and that was something I could do that gave me pleasure and be in the room with him while he watched TV, which was boring to me. I hate to say that, to tell you the truth.
Oh, no.
But it's the truth. But it filled a void there in a, for my creative outlet.
Can you tell me an amusing story about quilting?
Well, one of the first shows, I guess, that I was vending in Paducah years ago, two little old ladies came up in front of the booth and pointed at a quilt, and she said, what I'm said to the other, Mabel, that's not a quilt, that's just something you hang on the wall. I still remember that.
What aspects of quilting do you enjoy most?
Any kind of applique. I prefer applique, and I love paper piecing. And I either template piece or paper piece, but applique is my favorite, whether it's machine or hand. I've had my hand rebuilt and my shoulder replaced, so I don't like to do as much hand work as I used to. I do more.
Are you going to transcribe that?
Wee!
Are there any aspects of quilt making that you don't enjoy?
I guess because I do not have a mid-arm or long-arm, the most difficult for me is the actual quilting, moving all of that fabric and doing interesting, good free-motion quilting. That's very tedious, and it's very labor-intensive. That I enjoy the least. I like to hand quilt, but I have to be real careful how I use my hands today so they'll last as long as I do.
Mm-hmm. Have advances in technology helped you or influenced your quilting at all?
No. I prefer, I will never be able to make all the things that are in my head. I do not need electronics to get me going. Okay. And I draw it all out. And
well, what are your favorite techniques? You said you liked applique.
Yes. I love applique, machine and hand. Machine now works better for me because of hand problems. I love selecting the fabrics. I love color. I love to play colors off each other. Value is very important. I enjoy all that design and that getting the top together, and I love the free motion embroidery or stitching.
Okay. And what materials, what are your favorite materials?
Hand dyes and batiks.
Okay. All right, you've talked a little bit about value, color. What do you think makes a great quilt?
All of that. Design, value, color, execution.
What type of quilt do you see as appropriate for museum and collectors? Do you collect quilts?
Yes, old ones.
Okay. And so what type of quilts do you like to see in museums?
I like to see any of them. I really am not prejudiced. Of course, you know, I know what I like to personally make, but I enjoy everything except when they're so contemporary I can't get the meaning of it. Then, you know, and art affects me the same way. I can appreciate the color and everything, but I don't pick up on what they're saying. But I enjoy something that I can read.
That brings me to one of the quilts you have in the book, the one that features your great-grandfather.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about how you made that quilt.
For the Texas sesquicentennial in 1986, I wanted to design quilts to celebrate Texas, the sesquicentennial, and my great-grandfather. And I did several. One was in the last book. But this one, when he was 16, his family came to Texas. They lived in Tennessee. They came down the Mississippi on a steamship and to Brazoria and got a clipper ship over to... No, they came down the Mississippi and then went to Brazoria on a clipper ship and bought an oxen cart and went to the first Stephen F. Austin colony in Texas. And he and his father and another older brother, too, they threw up a log cabin, put in corn and sweet potatoes, and went off to San Antonio. And they fought in the Battle of Mission Concepcion and the Battle of San Antonio. And that's when and then about 100 of them were left at the Alamo. That's when they took over the Alamo and to guard it. And one of the commander that they were under in the other two battles, Colonel Neal, his wife became ill and he had to go back. You did not travel alone. Since they were good friends, they went with him to protect him going home. And in the meantime, the Alamo fell. And shortly after that, he wanted to join Sam Houston, who they knew in Tennessee, to go to San Jacinto. And he didn't have any shoes or any socks. So he asked his dad if he could make him a pair of moccasins that a deer hide he found tacked up on the cabin. So he did. And his mother said, "You still can't go because you don't have any socks." People had gathered at the cabin to send everybody off, and a girl gave him her stockings so she could not let him go. Anyway, he was wounded. He was shot in the knee with a musket, and his best friend was standing beside him, and he was killed. And the De Zavala family, and I think De Zavala was one of the first governors of the Republic or something, had a big ranch down here, and they took him in, and his family thought he was dead. And they finally got them notified 2 or 3 weeks later that he was alive, but they nursed him back. And he always limped the rest of his life, but he did tons of other things. He was one of the first captains in Texas Rangers. His whole territory was north and west of San Antonio, where the Comanches were rampant. And it was to make that area safe for the settlers to go in. And he was out there a lot of times by himself. A lot of funny stories about that.
I believe you got his life really encapsulated into that quilt.
Yeah, and he was the legislator. 13th legislator, and he was a sheriff. He was a rancher. He was involved in really helping Texas become a republic. And then 10 years later, they joined the Union. But when he was 88, I think, he was thrown off his horse, and it injured his old wound. He never could walk after that. He had to use crutches, and then he died within the year or something like that. But he lived a long time. His first wife died when he was about 60, and he married my grandmother's mother and had 6 more kids.
Tell me about that quilt. Obviously required a lot of design. Tell me about your design process.
Well, I tried to do an original design of each one of the segments that I wanted to show. There were a lot more things about him in the quilt, and I really wanted to bring in the historic buildings that he was involved with, like the Capitol being a legislator, the Sanderson Monument. His name is on that monument. And then a picture of him in I called the Ranger Museum to see what their uniforms were like in 1863 or whenever that was, and they said, well, honey, they wore whatever they had. So he was 6'5", and I'm sure wore cowboy clothes because they rode horseback all the time. So that's the way I dressed him.
Do you use a design wall?
Yes. Yes. I draw it up on paper, and then when I get it the size I want, then I start cutting fabric, and everything goes on the wall. Nothing is ever stitched together until I'm happy with it. And I learned that in art school. You get back away from your canvas or your whatever and look at it. Squint your eyes down and look at it.
What about your studio space? Do you have a studio?
Yes. When we bought this house, I designed one in the same style. The house was built to be built in the mountains in Colorado, so it's very unusual. So I designed one. I got it's two-story, lights, great light. I have a loft or one end, which is storage, and I have 3 closets and lots of windows out the backyard. We have a pond and back up to a creek with trees, so it's real pretty. It's very inspiring. And
do you teach?
I did. I've stopped. I teach locally, just Women McGill. If they want to learn something, if they want to get together, I'll teach it. About 2 or 3 years ago, I think about 2 years ago, I decided I was getting too old to do that, to travel and that sort of thing.
If you were going to encourage a young person or a new person, mm-hmm, who wanted to go into quilting, what would you tell them? How would you tell them to get started?
Well, we'll probably go to a quilt store or join a guild, a local guild if they have one, and take beginning quilt making class, and so they can sort of see where they enjoy, what they really enjoy doing the most, the applique, the patchwork. Beginning, you get a little bit of everything. I teach all the techniques, paper piece and everything in my beginning classes. And then, you know, if they can either read books and go forward, or they can take more classes, or come to a place like Houston and Festival and take classes here. And you really, once you figure out what it is you really like, then you can focus on something. But some people just want to try everything new, so whatever turns you on.
Which artist influenced you?
The first artist that I became very aware of, and I just adored her work, was Yvonne Purcello. I love bright colors and contrast and fun stuff, and I loved what she did at that time.
How do you feel about machine versus hand quilting?
As far as I'm concerned, one is as good as the other. I think if my grandma had a $5,000 machine, she would have used it.
right. I would like to hear you talk about a little bit about what ways you think quilts have had special meaning for women in America.
I have found that they have special meaning. They're very healing in a lot of ways, and I've met a lot of people that have used their quilting to work through difficult things and for happy things, to like make special quilts for their grandkids or friends or that sort of thing. So I think they're very therapeutic. They are to me.
What has happened to the quilts you've made for friends and family?
Well, some of them I don't want to know. When I give something, it's a gift. But some of them appreciate them. But sometimes grandkids and daughter-in-laws don't understand.
Daughter-in-laws.
No, I think most of them, they really appreciate it. I guess what I'm really talking about is the care of them.
How do you store your quilts?
In cotton bags and closets on shelves. And sometimes I take old sheets and sort of put a protector even against the painted back and the shelf too, so they have two layers of generally at least some kind of cotton fabric, and because I don't want to get acid stains from wood or anything on them.
Do you feel that you have a signature style? And if so, what is it?
You know, I love it. Love it all. I guess I'm best known for my applique quilts. Used to be hand, now it's machine. But I love doing most all of it, to tell you the truth.
The importance of quilts in American life.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about why quilts have been important in American life?
Well, one of the stories that I read, which I thought was real interesting, about Texas quilters, there was a couple who had a ranch or farm or something in Texas. They had moved here from the East Coast, like the Carolinas or Virginia or somewhere, and they had no children. And a man came through with two children, and he needed a place to stay, so they let him spend the night. And when he took the quilts out to cover the kids, this lady, the rancher's wife, recognized the fabric she had sent her sister in Texas to make these quilts. Her sister was deceased, so this was her niece and nephew. So she adopted them. I thought that was a wonderful story.
It is.
I wish I could remember their names, but it brings tears to my eyes.
What do you think's the biggest challenge facing quilt makers today?
Limiting yourself on how much money you spend to buy things. It's very tempting. It can become a very expensive hobby.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, indeed. Okay, we have some more time, but I want to be sure you get to tell me anything that you really want recorded.
Okay.
Is there any idea or particular thing that you wanted to talk about today, either about your quilt mm-hmm. here or in the book or in general?
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. When I was 3 years old, I drew a chicken on the floor in my mother's bedroom. She did not mop or clean that for weeks and told me how great it was. Obviously, it was, she could tell what it was. And then she had we did not have electricity because it didn't get it till later, till REA came through. It wasn't available in rural areas. And so we had a treadle machine, and she was not a real patient person, so she never taught me to sew, but I sat in her lap and watched everything she did. So her sisters and mother lived in a little town about 6 or 8 miles south, and when she'd go in, she'd spend the day visiting. So there were always hired hand and cowboys around, so I said, I want to stay home today. And I went into her rag bag. She had an old bathrobe I had loved that had great big pink border of pink roses around the bottom, and it was blue at the top with white polka dots. And I had seen a movie star magazine with a movie star, an actress, I don't remember who it was, Lana Turner or one of those ladies, wearing short shorts on the cover. My father was not real fond of us girls wearing short shorts. So I was made myself a pair. I got a pair of blue jeans out, cut a pattern, and when she got home, I put two pleats on each side. I got sewed snaps on those two pleats in front on each side, so snaps on the opening. But I just turned the top down and raw edge and just stitched it because I didn't know how to make the band. But anyway, when she got home, I was wearing big pink roses around my bottom. But so that was the first garment I made. She was gone 6 or 8 hours, so I had a lot of time to sew.
And you've been designing patterns ever since.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My daughter had scoliosis and had wear a body brace, so I designed all of her clothes where no one could tell that. So.
I believe I saw that you do not work in a group.
No, I was wanting to form one, and one of the ladies that I thought would be good moved to Virginia. So I've kind of got to rethink that. Sherman is not loaded with, we moved up there about 10 years ago. They're not loaded with serious quilters. There's two or three that do enter shows occasionally. So, and I do not know if they're interested. I may talk to them. I have friends that I knew in Dallas, one or two, that Barbara Hartman's a good friend. I go see her occasionally, and we critique each other some, but I would like a group. But
so you're not opposed to working in a group?
No, I think it'd be fun. I think you'd learn a lot from what they said.
All right, we're going to draw this to a close, and I just want to say what a privilege it's been to meet you.
Oh, well, thank you very much. It's been a privilege to be asked to do this, and I do hope that our young people go forward with quilt making because you receive so much pleasure from it and give pleasure to others.
Well, that's a good closing statement. I'd like to thank Shirley for allowing me to interview her today for the Quilters SOS Save Our Stories Oral History Project. And our interview is concluded at 11:42.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Can I have his name, please?
Henry.
H-E-N.
Yeah.
And so Stevenson.
Uh-huh. And he is a jewel.